This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If we win in Indiana, it's over with, folks. It's over with. And then we focused on Hillary Clinton.
All right, Indiana coming up on Tuesday as Indiana folks will go to the polls, and this should be it for Donald Trump. He should have enough delegates, even if it's not the absolute number, that it makes it impossible for Ted Cruz and Carly Fiorina to ultimately take over and win the Republican primary. So, you know, it's interesting. You look at the delegate count. Trump has over 1,000, and the total delegates are 2,472. For Hillary Clinton, she has 2,179. And remember, the delegates needed are different. And then you have to do that thing of the total delegates in the party and how much they parcel out and what does a superdelegate mean and whatnot. So we know Indiana's up. Then you got Nebraska, West Virginia, Oregon, and so on down the line, California. It's just so crazy how this process seems like we've been in this forever, doesn't it? Do you feel like this is a long, drawn-out affair? How this has ended up in this situation, I can't tell you. And, you know, it's funny. Over the weekend was the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and I was watching the lead-up to it. So in an effort to fill time, there were some of the stations that were talking about previous correspondence dinners, and I saw a clip. It was interesting. There was a clip of Donald Trump where the president, where Obama was saying a few years ago, you know, when is this guy running for president? Made a joke about him. He's always threatening to run for president, and here it is, fast forward these years later, 4 years later, and now Trump is in the thick of it and very close to claiming that nomination, because there's no way, I think, that you can figure out some kind of a cockamamie way in a convention to ultimately trip up Trump. It would be disastrous for the Republicans. But, you know, you listen to some political pundits, and I'm talking about people that have been in the game for a very long time, and they're persuasive as to say that there's no way Trump gets this against Hillary Clinton. Then you listen to some others and they say, absolutely, there's a way that he wins against Hillary Clinton. And what will that be like once the two of them claim the nomination and go up against each other? I think it'll just be the wild, wild west, which we've already seen that, right? So Clinton is going to have a hard time, first of all, trying to get the Bernie backers to jump on her bandwagon. But if she could, and if she was smart, she would try to do that, and she would try to win over Bernie Sanders as much as she could, because that's a tough crowd. And that's a tough crowd that might not go out and vote, period, and say, forget it, I don't want her, so I'm not going to vote. Because I think this is going to come down to the wire between these two. I disagree with some that say, oh, there's no way Trump will just absolutely slaughter her, or there's no way Clinton will absolutely cream Trump. I mean, it's like a lead up to the Super Bowl, isn't it? It's your side versus my side versus them, the us's and the thems. And because of that reason, I think there could be the problem of dissuading some people to vote. And I think it will come down to the wire. It will come down to a handful of votes. I think we're going to see what we saw, honestly, with the whole Gore-Bush thing. I don't predict hanging chads and that this ends up to the Supreme Court, but I think it will be really close because of a few factors on both sides. Who's going to stay home? Who's going to actually go out and vote? And I think the Democrats really honestly believe there's just no way that Trump becomes president, and I think that's a big mistake to think that there's not enough support or anti-Democrat or anti the same old thing, because he has really stepped it up, whether sometimes it seems ridiculous and he's a character of the, when he's on Celebrity Apprentice or not, he's not a career politician in that sense. And if you, it comes down to it, and that's the two choices, where do the independents go? And now we're getting close, folks. We are literally 80 days away from the conventions, because, you know, they're back-to-back conventions, Philly and then in Cleveland. Then what happens? And then what are those presidential debates? I can make this prediction. Those presidential debates, I think, will get huge ratings. Whoever has the presidential debates, and I know there's only going to be a few, I think they will be blowout affairs. And then what does Trump do? You know, he makes these comments about she's getting the woman's card, which I don't think so. But it doesn't matter. Anything, any shot that they take at each other now is just between the two of them. I think it's going to be wild television. I mean, you talk about must-see TV. I can say that whether the drop-off happens as far as voting is concerned, as far as the people watching you and I riveted to these presidential debates, I think the presidential debates will be ginormous, which is actually a word. Ginormous. Coming up in this hour of America tonight, the mailbag is filled with emails once again. So we will hit the mail slot coming up in our next segment. We're going to also enlist Patrick Eggdorf, the technical director of this version of America tonight, for a little of that fun of true and false, talking about some of the hits that are being played out there, some of the hot hits, what else are people talking about. We will absolutely do that. And the worldview, the long view, and what does it mean? I'll tell you one scary moment. The FBI says they stopped a plot against a prominent Florida Jewish center, that there was some kook that was going to throw a bomb over into the Jewish center. I mean, this stuff is so crazy. And who is he? James Medina. He was going to try to blow it up during Passover services. He explained that if he would conduct an attack, he would want to do it at a synagogue because Jewish people are the ones causing the world's war and conflicts. The FBI knew about it. There were all these comments that were made by him. He was initially saying he was going to use AK-47 style kind of weapons to shoot it up. Then he was going to throw a bomb over. And then luckily there was an informant. The FBI knew about it. They said nobody had to worry because they felt confident that it was, that they knew about the plot and they would stop him. And, I mean, this is just some of the nonsense that is happening. There was a 17-page, so there must have been a lot of ramblings, a manifesto, a 17-page FBI affidavit unsealed Monday, and it includes some of those comments I said about the AK-47s. Also, there were conversations recorded by an informant, the stuff that he was rambling about that he wanted to do, and he would claim the attack was traced to the state terror group, but there's no evidence of that. Yeah. They nailed him, though. They got him before anything happened. Hang with us.
Did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-900-0684.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs with no hassle. Never have to clean your machine by hand again. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-900-0684. That's 1-800-900-0684.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 The fascination over what's happened with print and prescription drug abuse, really, addiction, is overwhelming in this country, and I think it's just shining a light on that. And there's still more to come as far as Prince is concerned. Joining us now is John Diamond, He is with, I just talked about diamonds. He is with Origins Recovery Centers, and it is one of the leading addiction treatment providers in this country. So, John, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
When you started to hear the reports about Prince, and then Percocet was mentioned, did you know, I think I see where we're going with this because you've seen it before?
Well, I mean, the reality is that it's going to happen. You know, about 1,000 people are going to go into hospitals today for overdoses of opiates in the United States. I mean, so it's in the media because, you know, when we have a star like Prince and someone like him, but the reality is that it is happening in enormous numbers. You're more likely in 2000s today, you're more likely to die from a drug overdose than from an automobile accident in the United States. So it is so widespread that absolutely, you can kind of feel where these are going.
So do you see that at your center? Do you see that people can't get off painkillers or they're abusing them? Has that skyrocketed?
Enormously, especially over the past 10, 15 years. In fact, according to the National Institutes of Health, this is one that really blew me away. New heroin addicts. As you know, people who become heroin addicted to heroin within the past 10 or 12 years, 80% of them started off with an addiction to a prescription drug. So the flooding of prescription drugs into, you know, our nation is, we're just seeing an epidemic of addiction, and these are absolutely killing people.
Yeah, and we're talking about all across the board, right? Every single class, I mean, from the wealthy on down.
Absolutely. I mean, there is one thing about addiction is a disease, and it does not, no disease discriminates. So if a person introduces drugs into their system and they have, and not every single person becomes addicted, but those who do, your brain doesn't care if you're wealthy, educated, uneducated. Mm-hmm. It also doesn't care where you got the drugs, whether you got them from a doctor or a dealer. Addiction is addiction, and it doesn't discriminate.
So what's the process? How do you get away from this addiction? How do you detox? What are some of the things that you do at your center? That's got to be tough.
It is tough, and the key is that it takes time. You know, people want, we're a nation that wants a quick fix for anything. Mm. But one of the first things is, I mean, I think there's three things that are really important right now. You know, right now there's a move to have a drug available, you know, without prescription. It's called Narcan or Naloxone. That's like almost like an EpiPen. So if someone is found and they're dying of an overdose, you can give that to them, and it'll stop the overdose, and it'll save their life. So that's a really good thing. The problem is that if that's all you do, you're going to go, that person's going to go right back to the drugs. So they need to be alive. The second thing is, so they need treatment. And treatment, what it does is it says, we're not just going to take the drug away from you, but we're going to actually help you develop a way of life so that you can, you have the skills you need and the connection you need to live drug-free. Treatment gives people in a structured environment where they can't have access to the drugs and where they can struggle for those first 1 to 3 months where their brain really needs to begin healing. But it can't stop there. And one of the things that are, you know, I work for Origins, and we talk about it being such a great place. I think one of the reasons is that one of our founders, Ben Levinson, was looking at this problem and saying, you know, even people who go to treatment have the levels of people who are able to stay clean and sober are really low. And so what he developed is a partnership with a company called MAP, and what they do is they actually provide ongoing aftercare. You've got ability to contact somebody 24 hours a day for support and help for over a year after treatment. Because the reality is that especially with opiate addiction, the organ that's involved in the disease is the brain. And the brain does not fully heal until 12 to 18 months. So the answer is you got to be alive. B, you got to get in and have structured treatment that eventually steps down so that you're entering life. But you have to have ongoing structured support, for that first year to year and a half. And that's where people get into trouble. And then along with that, of course, is 12-step. You know, people have different opinions about 12 steps and the success and such. But if people actively engage 12-step recovery, and they generally have to have that support to do that, recovery is 100% possible. But it's just not easy, and it takes time.
We're speaking
and you need all those components.
Yeah, absolutely. That was great. We're speaking with John Diven. He's with the Origins Recovery Centers, and we're talking about addiction to painkillers, really, and Prince. And do you think Prince, his death kind of is a little bit of a hello, wake up for a lot of people?
I think it is a, you know, and it's a devastating thing. The man was a brilliant artist.
Oh yeah.
And it's so sad to see happen. But I think right now we have been ignoring this problem as a nation for a long, long, long time. And I think there are a lot of things that are happening right now where our politicians and the media are really starting to, you know, even before Prince died, starting to see the enormity of this epidemic and starting to pay some attention to it. So I think Prince's death certainly is another thing that's kind of waking people up. And it's sad. It's sad that we have to, you know, have all these many losses for this to become a top issue. This is the number one cause of accidental death in the United States today.
Wow, crazy. For you, it has to be rewarding to see people do exactly what you just said, the three things that you gave us, if they go through that process and come out on the other side. You've seen that. What is that like for you from the other side of it, to see someone come through?
It is indescribable, because it is, you know, when patients come in the door, their lives are devastated, but not just their lives, their families' lives, the lives of anyone who loves them, it has been devastated. And so when they become recovered, when they get in and get well and they go through this, it doesn't just do that. It doesn't just do that for them. It fathers return to their children, and parents return to their kids, and kids, parents get their kids back, and families come back together. It's miraculous. One of my favorite things is to see alumni come back and to meet their families, and to hear people say, you know, I I'm thinking about fathers right now, because I only very recently, you know, I had a teenager say, I got my dad back. So, you know, when I was several years ago, my daughter was in third grade, and she would always talk about this boy that she was friends with. And eventually she came and said, hey, guess what? I was talking to him, and his dad has a problem like the people that you help. And his dad got help and got better. Well, it turned out that this kid that I didn't know, that my daughter was always talking to in third grade, was actually the son of a man who'd been my patient. And it struck me so hard, because I realized that man getting sober and getting healthy directly impacted my daughter, because this is her friend. Her friend now grows up in a home where he has a father, and where they are, you know, there is sobriety and there is health and there's celebration of life, as opposed to growing up in a home where there is just brokenness and devastation. So when one person gets well, it doesn't just change their lives. It changes the lives of everyone they love, and even people that they don't know.
Wow, how crazy is that? That's an amazing story. John Diamond, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Just a terrific segment. I hope a lot of people are paying attention, and this reaches a lot of people. And if you need help, certainly reach out and grab that help. Thanks, John.
Thank you so much.
Do you have dry hands or itchy, peeling skin? Are your cracked feet in need of a makeover for sandal season? Hi, my name is Diane Cook, the creator of B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream. B-Spa is all natural, 16% beeswax, marigold extract, and other essential oils and nutrients. B-Spa is great for exceptionally dry hands and feet, but B-Spa can be used anywhere on the body. I am sure you will see a difference overnight. B-Spa is the only cream you will ever need. The convenient 2.5-ounce size jar travels nicely, and a little goes a long way. B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream costs $29.99. Use promotion code 101 for free shipping. Order B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream today at bespa.com. That's BEESPA.com. That's BEESPA.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
How many times I have listened to Love Will Keep Us Together and a myriad of other songs by this next lady who is our special guest today. So thrilled she's in our virtual green room. We promised we would not play that song over and over again so she wouldn't have to hear her own work. But Toni Tennille is with us, and she's written a memoir, and it is fascinating. I have to tell you, Toni, first of all, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, Kate. I really appreciate it.
And I have to tell you, I had a quick little getaway where I was at the Venetian pool in Las Vegas, and I was reading your book. I was absorbing it, and I put it down for a second to go off and rinse off, and someone took the book, so I had to buy another copy. So I'm responsible for two copies. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm glad you got another copy. I don't know what to say about that.
Except for I think they wanted to read your book. I think that they saw it and they were so excited. They thought, well, she's probably done with that. I'll swipe it. So, you got to love
dear.
That. Absolutely.
The book.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about your beginnings in music. How did you know you had that talent? When did that all start for you as a kid?
Well, my father was a singer, and my mother had musical talent. I just popped out singing, and, you know, there are four Tennille sisters. I'm the oldest of the four, and every one of us sing. They all have lovely voices. It just was part of our musical life back as far as I can remember.
So you start off, you have your sisters, and you got a lot of great pictures of your sisters and your family in the book, too, by the way, I'll tell everyone. But you start to do that. Did you just know that your career would explode the way it did?
No, never. As I grew up and started singing in Montgomery, Alabama, where I was born and raised, people would say, oh, you have such a great voice. That was kind of a big fish in a little pond. I had no illusions. I just sang because I loved it. And I remember one of the first songs I ever sang for people when I was in junior high school was a silly song called Abba Dabba Honeymoon, followed by Julie London's Cry Me a River. So you can imagine me singing that torch song at age 15. But people liked it, so, you know, what can I say? You know, I never thought I would have what would have happened that happened to me with Daryl, ever.
Yeah. So you meet Daryl Dragon, who's the captain, becomes your husband, all of that. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the beginnings of that relationship.
Well, Daryl and I met mainly because of a musical I had written with one of the directors at South Coast Repertory Theater in Southern California. It was an ecology-themed musical called Mother Earth. And it's a long story, but I'm just going to say it ended up as a professional production, and we opened it in San Francisco in 1971. And Daryl, we needed a new keyboard player because our regular keyboard player couldn't go to Los Angeles with the show. So Daryl flew up to audition for me, which is kind of funny. But I actually hired him to play keyboards for me. And then later on, he was a Beach Boy for a long time. And he and I started working together in clubs and then also as a Beach Boy piano player. That was me. I was a beach girl, but they let me in anyway.
I bet that was fun. You probably have a lot of stories from those days.
I have some wonderful stories, and it really was fun, and it was very, very eye-opening to me because, you know, I was this kind of sheltered girl from Alabama, and I had never even been to a rock concert, much less been on stage playing in one. And I learned many, many lessons from my time with the Beach Boys. One was the responsibilities of a headliner, the business of music, you know, how much it costs to do this, that, and the other just to carry a touring band around and dealing with groupies. Well, I don't have groupies, but they sure did, but fans and things. And it was a real eye-opener and a very much an education for me when Daryl and I began to have our own success.
Then you start, you tour, you do all of that, and you elope. And you elope in a tiny mining town, Virginia City, Nevada, which I've actually been through there. If you blink, you're done. You're out of there. Did that surprise a lot of people? Did it surprise your family or no?
Well, you know, Daryl and I had been living together since 1972, and we were not married when we had our first hit. And I know it disturbed my mother, my Southern conservative mother, who would say to me all the time, Tony, when are you and Daryl going to get married? You just shouldn't be living together without being married. Well, I wanted to, but Daryl had really, he was very hard to read. He had not made any indications of loving me, you know. We had a relationship, but you read the book, so you know what it was like. So I think A&M, when Lovell Keeps Together hit the charts, our record company was very concerned that people would find out that we weren't married, although people thought we were. So they put out a press release saying that we were married on Valentine's Day, which was not. We weren't married, and we would never have chosen that day anyway. But we started getting letters from fans who would say, oh, you were married on Valentine's Day. That's so cute. And that's how we found out about it. So then, to top it off, this is so romantic, you're not going to believe this. Our accountant said, you know, Tony, if you and Daryl were married, he said that to both of us, you could pay a lot less taxes. So we flew up to Northern Nevada, drove to Little Virginia City, and got married kind of under the radar in the Silver Queen Saloon Wedding Chapel up there.
Wow. Unbelievable.
So that was our romantic wedding.
And you were together for a very long time, and people were shocked when you broke up, and you're very forthright about it. In the book, you talk about it, but people didn't really know what was going on in that relationship, right?
No, they didn't. And, you know, I have to say that I can never blame Daryl for any of this because he just is who he is. And he was raised in a very, very complicated and difficult family. His father was very much the dictatorial famous person. He was an Academy Award winning film scorer. He was a symphony conductor. He recorded 25 albums for Capitol Records, and he was the epitome of the maestro. Handsome, lots of charisma, and he had lots and lots of fans, but he was very hard on his kids. They had three boys and two girls, and he was especially hard on the boys. He was very critical of them. There was some abuse going on, which I don't want to go into because there's still family members alive who think that Carmen hung the moon. But, and also Daryl's mother had a breakdown when she was in her 30s and suffered from clinical depression the rest of her long life. So he never learned love. He never was nurtured by anybody in his family. Never had that experience at all. And he kind of grew into himself. And, of course, I had the complete opposite upbringing with lots of love, lots of support, and, you know, lots of good relationship. So I thought, okay, I can fix this guy. You know, I can go into this relationship and I can show him, teach him how to love, how to let some joy into his life. And I kept thinking how wonderful it would be for him and for me, of course, if I could do this. So that's how I started the relationship. And I'm stubborn. I'm a Taurus. I'll stick with something for a long time. And I worked on it for years and years and years and years and years before I finally realized it was never going to happen. I broke the cardinal rule. The rule is, you will never change a man. He's going to be what he's going to be, and you can't change him.
Boy, that is so true. I hope a lot of people are listening to that, because I know there are a lot of women that try to do the same thing.
Well, and I thought I could. I mean, I really, truly thought I could, and I just couldn't.
Yeah. The song that I mentioned at the top, of course, Love Will Keep Us Together, how many, I mean, you'd probably be a billionaire every time somebody comes up to you and sings like a little ditty from that. Does that happen to you still? I bet it does.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. And it always puts me in a very happy place when I hear that happen. I remember on one of the airlines many years ago, I guess it was during the 80s when I was singing with symphonies and big bands, and one of the flight attendants came up to me and she said, "Miss Tennille, would you come back to the galley? We want to show you something." And I thought, well, okay. So I went back there, and it was one of those large jumbo-type jets, and there were like four or five flight attendants. And they lined up in a row, and they started singing Love Will Keep Us Together, complete with choreography, which I just thought was wonderful. I mean, you know, you got to love stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely, of course. Of all the places that you got to go and people that you got to meet, I mean, I know this is a tough question. What's your favorite moment? Do you have one?
Oh, my gosh, there were so many. My favorite musical moment, I might say, was singing a duet of Torch songs with the great Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh.
That was, to me, and you can find it on YouTube. It's there. You just put in Tony Tennille, Ella Fitzgerald, and it'll come up. She was a guest on our special we called the Songbook Special in 1980, and I invited her to be my special guest, and I just was overjoyed when she accepted. And what I found out about her, Kate, as we worked together, was what a humble, lovely woman she is, or was. She's gone now, I'm sad to say. I remember when we did it was a 10-minute Torch song medley that we did together, and it was complicated. We did our first rehearsal together, and, you know, I was just going, oh, this is a dream, this is a dream. And when we finished the rehearsal, she said to me, "Now, was that all right?" She's asking me if that was all right. I went, oh, my God, are you kidding? And, of course, when we did it, it was just, to me, absolute perfection. And it was like I was standing outside myself watching me sing with Ella Fitzgerald and remembering when I was a little kid singing into my hairbrush and pretending I was her. That has got to be, to me, the greatest joy of my musical life.
Absolutely. Tony Tennille, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Pick up her book. You can get it at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold. What a pleasure to have you, as I said, on the show. We could talk to you for hours. Thanks so much.
And also, I want to mention, Kate, that I did narrate the audiobook, and it's out there on Audible Audio. If you want to listen to me tell it to you,
can
go there.
I love it. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Kate.
I've been saving myself. for you, just you, no one but you. I've staked my heart in your name.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
A girl's best friend. You remember that old song, Carol Channing? I think was the first one to do it. But regardless, I know you've heard the song. I don't care if you're 15 or if you're 80. So I like diamonds. I know some of you certainly have been shopping for diamonds, some of you guys that listen to this show. But how about pure grown diamonds? Have you heard about pure grown diamonds? And what does that mean? I think there's a confusion about what it means. And what's interesting is diamond production is going through the roof. They're talking about where it will actually scale up to. So it's perfect to have TJ Walker on with us. He's a spokesperson for Pure Grown Diamonds. And TJ, I guess that's the first question. If I say that to someone, they're like, oh, so that means pure grown, you must grow them in a lab. Am I right? How does that work?
Yes, they're grown in a laboratory. You start with a diamond seed, which is made of pure carbon. Mm. It's put in a greenhouse. It grows for 9 to 12 weeks, and then you cut the diamond, you polish it, you mount it, and it can get on your finger or your ear. It takes about 9 months from concept until you're wearing it. Here's the thing that I didn't even realize until I started working with the company. These are genuine diamonds. These are type 2A diamonds. Only 2% of all diamonds have that classification. So they're incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, you know, and when you, as what you just described, that process, what is the difference between a natural process, because that's going to be an obvious question, versus what you just described with the lab-grown process?
Well, there are a couple of big differences, but think of it this way. If someone gives you a beautiful lily or a beautiful rose, do you know if it was made in a greenhouse or in someone's backyard? Mm-hmm. They're both roses and lilies, and they can both be beautiful. So at some level, a diamond is a diamond. Now, there are some important differences. Number one, these are eco-grown, because the problem with mined diamonds, according to Frost and Sullivan, an international consulting firm, is there's 7 times the damage to the environment in a mined diamond. Think of mines and digging all the dirt,
water,
and air pollution. The other big issue, frankly, is all the social issues. Lab-grown diamonds are socially sustainable. A mined diamond, don't listen to me, listen to someone like Amnesty International. They've disclosed how so much of mined diamonds goes to fund civil wars, tyrants, child labor. Places like the Philippines, you have 11-year-olds forced to dive 60 feet deep with just a tube in their mouth, and kids die from this.
It's awful. It's awful. And I think a lot of people saw, you know, if you saw the movie, what was it called, Blood Diamonds, that whole story. I mean, I know it's a movie, but it brought out a lot of what you're talking about, where some people weren't realizing what was going on with the mined diamonds.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people are asking themselves, especially millennials, if you're trying to, you know, put a spotlight on a major event in your life, starting a life, a marriage with someone, for example, why not do that with something that symbolizes love and peacefulness and something good for the environment, instead of something that involves destruction to the environment and destruction to people? The third big difference between mined diamonds and lab-grown diamonds is lab-grown diamonds are typically 30% less expensive, 30 to even 40%. So if you're getting a typical sort of one-carat engagement ring, a mined diamond might be $5,000. A lab-grown diamond is going to be more like $3,000. That's a couple thousand dollars more for a honeymoon or a down payment for a house or a car or any other big expense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's a big difference, because you think of the markup on mined diamonds. So here's another question some would ask, I would think. You know, my brother used to joke that he'd see some women with huge diamonds, and he said, you know, you could cut someone's cheek with that. But how durable are the lab-grown diamonds compared to the mined diamonds?
There is literally no difference, because, again, they're both genuine diamonds. It's 99.95% pure carbon. It's 99.9% devoid of nitrogen. If you take it to a jeweler or a gemologist and they look at it underneath one of those glass things, they cannot tell the difference. Again, think of it as someone brings you beautiful roses or beautiful lilies. Can you tell if it was grown in a greenhouse versus someone's backyard? Probably not.
Yep, probably not. It's interesting, too, because I was sent some statistics on this, and there was a study, as you know, that was done by the PhD Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and they talk about, in this, the production of lab-grown diamonds, and they say it's going to scale up to 20 million carats by 2030. You mentioned millennials. Is that part of the reason why?
Yes. Increasingly these days, millennials really don't want to be associated with something that's wildly destructive to the environment the way mined diamonds are. They don't really want their money going directly or indirectly to support the tyrants, dictators, and child labor. So that's one of the huge attractions driving the increase in lab-grown diamonds and the pure-grown diamonds. The other factor, frankly, is just there's an increased world demand. People in China and the rest of the world see the United States, and they see old Elizabeth Taylor movies and new movies, too, and people like diamonds. And yeah. As more and more of the world enters the middle class, they want the things American middle-class people have, which is diamond rings, diamond earrings, etc.
Yeah, with the with the lab grown diamonds, is it still the same thing where I can shop? Okay, it's already been grown, and I'm just shopping what kind of cut I want, what kind of clarity and color, and what you would normally do with diamonds.
Sure, these come in brilliant and emerald cuts, princess cuts. They come in fancy pink, bright yellow, colorless or white. And the best thing is to just go to a local jeweler you know and respect. And if they don't have pure-grown diamonds, they can get them for you. If you want to make sure before you start driving around town, you can always go to puregrowndiamonds.com and type in your address, and the website will tell you the closest jeweler to where you live that carries lab-grown and pure-grown diamonds.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. I think it'd be cool to see it go from to be in that lab, frankly, and to see it go from when it's being grown to the end product. I mean, that would be neat to watch that process. Have you seen the process?
I haven't, but again, we're talking about the whole process is about 9 months long.
Yeah.
Process in the greenhouse is 9 to 12 weeks. So
wow.
The process is interesting. As far as looking at any one second, it is a slow process.
Yeah, slow process, but it has to be really cool to see that. All right, we're going to get the show somewhere where we can get near watching the diamonds grow. I think that would be a whole lot of fun. Do you have a favorite cut of diamond? Princess cut, right?
I have purchased princess cut and brilliant cut myself.
I know, it's so complicated. All right, a lot of fun. TJ, thanks so much, TJ Walker.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It. Wow, interesting talking to TJ about it. I know I'm fascinated by this whole process. You heard me mention to him how I'd love to see the process from the very beginning. I mean, in my head, it's like planting carrots, like planting something in this lab, watching it grow, and then, as he said, the whole greenhouse part. I think the significance here is the key things he said. Younger people want nothing to do with the mined diamonds, and that means a lot of what Amnesty International did, that movie Blood Diamond, the awareness of what was happening really is starting to hit home with some people. And you talk about the demand for diamonds by 2030 to be 221 million carats. That's pretty big, and how much of that is we're talking about that's going to be grown is so interesting. And I think that this will just continue to ratchet up. I mean, I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger by comparison. And again, especially when you talk about the whole mine diamonds thing versus that very cool, very, very, very cool thing of lab-grown diamonds that are exactly the same. So there's no difference whatsoever between the two. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.